can help one. And if just, you know, one person at a time takes it upon themselves, I want you to know it really makes a difference for somebody. And, you know, it makes a difference for their whole family. And so we're going to give some personal testimonies next week, and we'll have these packets available. You can look at them back there and just see, you know, who they are, where they live, and just kind of get an idea. Our church sponsors a child. His name is Seth Coffee Kukui, I think is how we say his last name. We're not sure if we pronounce it right, but I think he's okay with it. And he's from Togo, Africa, and we have watched even in his pictures how he seems to have more hope in the more recent pictures, you know, because our church has come alongside of him, just showing him love. And I can tell you from talking to the folks that have been touched by it, the fact that somebody personally cares about them from somewhere else in the world really makes a difference to them. I mean, those letters are a treasure to them. And so just want to praise God for the opportunity to do that. And, you know, a lot of times on these types of things, people, they try to guilt people into doing stuff. I think it's a foolish way to try to do it. I just think it's available, and if God moves your heart, I will guarantee you, you'll be blessed. I will just guarantee you, you'll be blessed. It'll be a joy to your heart. I was kind of guilted into it myself, not because my wife guilted me into it. She actually asked me to help sponsor the first child as it was like Mother's Day present, yeah. And so she, when she saw one move just by Mother's Day, she made a birthday and everything. She said, if you'll do this, you know, this can be my birthday present too, and the whole nine yards. And so did it, and then we wrote a letter, and I wasn't thinking that it was going to impact my life too much. And then little guy wrote a letter back to us and told us how he was praying for us. And I'm just going to tell you, I broke down. And it just really touched my heart to think that this little guy cared about us from the other side of the world, you know. And so I just want to praise God. I'm going to pray over this, and then we're going to kind of move on with the service. Dear Father, just want to thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to touch other people's lives. Some of us may never leave the United States of America personally, but we can send our love and make disciples of other people in other parts of the world, Lord, just through a sponsorship program like this. And Lord, we know that sometimes even here in the United States, money can be real tight on people. So Lord, I would not ask anybody to give beyond what they're able to do. But Lord, if they're able, and if you were to move their heart, we just want to allow the opportunity to connect a family with, or an individual with another family or individual in another part of the world, Lord. To think that two-thirds of the world lives on less than $2 a day, many of them a dollar a day. Lord, to think of that is pretty astounding. And we've been in other parts of the world to see that a lot of items don't really cost a whole lot less in their economy. Just a lot of times they have to do without. And so I just pray that that you'll bless us to be led by you. And we thank you for blessing us so much. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys. We have, hopefully you got a bulletin on your way in. We have sermon notes inside the bulletin, so I would encourage you to grab those. So God blessed me as I studied and planned for the sermon today. And just thinking about moms, you know, and how mothers are the Father's plan. The Heavenly Father had a plan, how He was going to bring about the people of the earth, and how He was going to bless the people of the earth, how He was going to raise them up. We look in Malachi, the book of Malachi, and it tells us that God's plan for marriage is to bring about godly offspring. And so he puts a remnant of His Spirit. We're representative of Him and His relationship to the church. And then He wants to bring about godly offspring. And I want you to know that that's such a blessing, you know, that we get to be a part of that in more than one facet. You know, it's just like a diamond has many facets to it, or a gemstone. So does being like involved in this whole thing of bringing about godly offspring. Sometimes they're not our biological children that we're reaching out to. Sometimes the people that we're touching are not always those that have the same last name as us. So I want to keep that in mind as we think about mothering and motherhood. It's so amazing how God uses us. But this has been the Father's plan all along. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but men and women are not exactly the same. I mean, we have attributes and things about us that make us distinctly different, and that's a good thing. I mean, God had a great plan whenever he did all this. And here's the thing, God's plans will stand. You know, in our world today, there's a lot of confusion about things that really God made very plain. And the fact that God made it so plain, it just seems to challenge people to kind of push against that and try to challenge it and change things. But I'm just going to tell you, I think God's plans are the ones that are going to stand till the end. Amen? And so I want you to think about something. You know, this is the Father's plan, the way that he makes moms. I want you to think about something. There's a fact that I want you to think about. Adam and Eve are the only created people who ever lived that didn't have a mother. And kind of made a little joke out of it, no belly button. They didn't even have to have a belly button. Your belly button is an absolute proof that you had a mother, that you came, you developed in your mother's womb. And so I will guarantee you, none of you made it into this earth without a mom, right? Amen? It's kind of a cool thought whenever you think about that. Like, every last one of us that have ever existed have a mom to thank for bringing us into this world. And such an incredible thing. I mean, from Adam and Eve were the only two that could say that this didn't happen for them. And, you know, so let's think about some moms in the Bible as we kind of just play along this thought. You know, I just picked some real quick ones. You got all these patriarchs of the faith, you know, Isaac, Jacob, even Moses who led Israel, you know, they all had moms. So Sarah connected to Isaac, Rebecca connected to Jacob, and Jochebed connected to Moses. A lot of people may not know Moses' mom's name, but that's one of the reasons why I threw it in there. And you got Samuel, who was one of the great prophets in Israel that helped lead Israel. He was actually a priest from another tribe who was adopted into the priesthood. But Hannah was his mom. And so she was one that, man, we need to talk more about Hannah in the future, because she was such an amazing mom. She was barren for many years, and she said, she cried out to God whenever they took their offering in the temple, and she said, if you'll give me a child, I will give him back to you. And wow, did she ever. And man, he was a powerful influence to keep Israel going in the right direction. In fact, he's the one who anointed David as king, and such an amazing thing. God used him in many, many ways. And of course, we have probably the most famous mom in the Bible, I would say, is Mary, and the mother of our Lord Jesus. Yes, Jesus came to the earth to dwell in a bodily form through a mother. And, you know, he didn't have to have the earthly dad. In fact, it was chosen that he wouldn't. He came through Mary, who was a virgin. God didn't need to use us guys, but he did choose to use a mom. And that just kind of blows me away whenever I think about that. Isn't that awesome? I'm just going to tell y'all, ladies here, you guys have a really special place. I mean, I just want you to know that. A special place in this world and in my heart. It's interesting that I would be preaching this week, you know. My mom had a very special place in my heart. And, you know, what an amazing thing. That God would allow us to kind of finish that race together in this world. And but, you know, keep in mind, God appointed roles for gender. Okay, God's the one who made the genders. And this is another one, you know, it always shocks me whenever I think there's this argument over gender. You know, we're born male and female, right? And God's the one who chooses this. And it's such an amazing thing the way that he does it. People tend to focus on what we can't do. Every time we talk about a role, right, that God hands down, all of a sudden our focus goes toward, but are you saying I can't? Well, you know, sometimes God is saying we can't. And there's one thing I can't do. I cannot bear children. I can guarantee you that. No matter what, you know, I would like to be able to do, some of the different roles, you know, we can kind of fill in for one another. But ladies have this awesome ability to bring forth children. And not only just to bring forth children, because we know in a fallen world, sometimes that doesn't always, you know, get accomplished in a biological way. But to be able to nurture as mothers is such an amazing, amazing thing. Now, I can just say, we need each other on this deal. I need my wife to be the mom to our children, you know? Far beyond just delivering them into this world is the care and nurturing ability that she has. She doesn't think just like me. I don't know if y'all knew that or not. You know, I don't think just like her. And I dare say I think she kind of needs me too. You know, I play a role in this thing. But man, she plays an awesome role that I wouldn't even want to try to fill her shoes. I'm thankful that that we have a different place in this. And I really want to say, man, I respect and I just am so thankful for the role that all the mothering, nurturing mothers play in our world today. And I'm just going to tell you, the more that is taken away, the more our society suffers. You know, machines and computers and all that stuff are nice, but they can't raise children. Televisions can't raise children. The government can't effectively raise children. I'm just going to say it. You know, and sometimes we as dads have to go at it alone for a stretch at times, trying to raise children by ourselves. But even then, you know, God will give grace, but His plan is for that mom to be in there helping to nurture those children. What a beautiful thing. And so we're different in our roles, but we're equal. I always want to impress upon that. There's not one role more important than another. But there's some of them we just simply can't do as well or for the other person, and we have these different roles. And in Titus chapter 2, it talks about that a little bit, 4 and 5, that they admonish the young women. This is speaking of the older women helping to bring up the younger women, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. And we know this is God's perfect plan. We live in a fallen world, and sometimes because of sin, these things don't turn out quite the way that it's planned to, but this is the plan. And whenever we try to shoot for God's plan, that's whenever things work out the very best. And so what is, you know, I can tell you, when we look at this list in verse 5, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to your own husbands, these are all the things that are very despised in the worldly ways that we live in these days. You don't hear a lot of people applauding a young lady for saying, you know, when she's growing up in school, what would you like to be whenever you grow up? I'd like to be a mom. You know, I'd like to be a wife and a mom. And a lot of times that doesn't get applauded in our world. But I'm here to say I think it is the most awesome calling. And I think it deserves the highest level of respect. A whole lot of people are having to do some of this stuff at home right now because of all these stay-at-home orders that have been in place. And I've been seeing things, you know, along the way with a lot of the ladies experiencing homeschooling their children and things of that nature. And man, I tell you, I'm just going to say, I think it deserves the highest level of respect. And so do I get an amen on that? I think it's so awesome to see moms loving their children and nurturing them along. And I know, you know, this is something I just got to say, you know, I have such a high level of respect for my sister because she's experienced how hard it is to try to do that, you know, as a single mom for some of her raising of her children. She's done an awesome job. I mean, she has done the work of both sides oftentimes in countless hours. And you know, she really appreciates too what my mom did for us, because at our funeral service for my mom the other day, you know, I asked if anybody had anything, memories that they wanted to say about their mom. And you know, Sissy spoke up a little bit and she just, I'm not going to put her on the spot. I'll just probably do a bad job repeating it. But nonetheless, she said that she remembered a particular time. My mom would go beyond. And she would give more than you know. She talked about, you know, gifts that she would give. They were so extravagant to us. And I'll tell you why. Because my mom really didn't have that growing up. And I asked her one time, I said, what was your greatest aspirations in life? She said to be a good mom and a good wife. And I can tell you, I'm proud of her. I think she did the very best she could. And Sissy even brought up a time whenever she was really sick and she was kind of out of it because because Sissy had been running a fever. And I kind of remember this time. She was really sick. And she woke up kind of in the middle of the night, a little groggy, and she noticed there was a light on in our house. And guess who it was? It was my mom. And she was staying up to make sure that she would be awake in case Sissy needed her, you know. And she did the same thing for me. And I mean, she never complained. She never bragged. She never even brought it up again. She just did what she needed to do to be a good mom to us. And I'm just going to say, you know, my dad was great too, and he provided for us, and he taught us a lot of stuff. You know, he taught me how to play ball. He taught me how to do all these different skills. He taught me how to work and do all of this. But man, I just value those things that my mom taught me, you know. She taught me things that were deeper too, about relationship, how to be kind, you know. And my dad was all about, hey, you know, this is how you get it done. And my mom would say, this is how you make sure you don't step on everybody while you're getting it done. You know? I mean, like, there's nothing wrong with you being kind. There's nothing wrong with you showing love. And you know, just wanting us to be honorable among people. That was the part that my mom really filled into that. You know, just thinking about that thought, different but equal. We see that there's different roles, but equal. Again, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, but if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, you notice it uses the male pronoun there, his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So just like we have the one role of homemakers loving their husband, their children, for the lady, we see that there is also expectations for the guy too, you know, to provide. And there's a lot of other expectations for the guys, but it's not Father's Day, so I'm not going to go into all those. I just wanted you to know, it don't all fall on the ladies, right? There's expectations for the men too. And do I get an amen out of my men out there? All right. So, but here's the thing. This is all in God's order. And when we look at God's order, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, but I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. Who's at the top of this thing? Christ. Who's the head of this church? Christ. Right? Who's the head of the family? Ultimately, Christ. He's the one that we need to be charting our course by. He's the one directing things. And the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. And so everyone, you know, whenever Christ walked on this earth, who did he show that he was submitting to all the time? His Father, right? His Father. He was God, and he is just totally equal with God in all ways. He is God, and yet he would say, I submit to my Father. I have come to do the will of my Father in heaven. And so he was teaching us that even within the marriage and even within the family, there's submission and there's headship. But still totally equal in importance and before God's sight. And so God's order continues on as we look a little further in 1 Corinthians 11, 11 through 12. Nevertheless, neither is man independent of woman or woman independent of man in the Lord. For as woman came from man, remember, God took the rib out of Adam's side. He made Eve, right? Even though woman came from man, even so, man also comes through woman. If you're a man, you're sitting here, you're breathing, you came through a woman, you had to have a mother, right? And so we're very dependent on one another in this thing. We can't do without each other. We couldn't be the same. If we were all the same, it'd be messed up, right? And so, even so, man also came through woman, but all things are from who? God. God is the creator of all of it, including the order that he made. It's just so awesome how he puts it all together. And so I'm kind of building up toward this greater thought, and we're going to get there. Keep kind of tracking with me here. In God's order, he talked about the roles of women within the church and some things that he didn't plan for them to do, like to have authority over men in the church. And then he gets to this one area here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control. And I can tell you, this is probably one of the most misunderstood verses oftentimes in the Bible. So we're going to try to break it down just a little bit here today. This doesn't mean that a woman has to have a child before they can be eternally saved and go to heaven. Okay, do I get an amen? This does not mean that. This does not mean that. You're saved by faith eternally, right? Through Christ. eternally. The word saved has more than one meaning and more than one way to understand it, right? It's not just eternal salvation. Sometimes we're being saved, kept safe, preserved, rescued, made well. All these are part of the Greek word sozo. And so it can be like that we're kept safe immediately as we put ourselves into the right place of God's plan. And so in this thing of childbearing, we're going to define that word as well. As it comes out in the Greek, it's technogio. But anyway, it's not just birthing a child. It's actually a compound word that has to do with childbearing, which also includes and implies, if you look down at the bottom from this particular verse, it denotes bearing children and implies the duties of motherhood. Guys, your job as a mom isn't over just because you gave birth to a child, right? In fact, that's whenever it just begins. And you can have this task of motherhood whether or not you've ever naturally or biologically birthed a child before. Do I get an amen to that? Because, guys, there's all kinds of need for that nurturing and that motherhood. So what I think that God is saying here is that, there may be some things that the woman wasn't designed to do, but if she will take on what he has designed and to nurture and bring forth these things, that God will bring about salvation, not only in her immediate position, but in all of our immediate position. You know why we're in such trouble as a society right now? It's because we're not paying enough attention sometimes to raising up this next generation to be godly individuals. You know, I knew of a church once. They were looking for a pastor, and a pastor came, and he said that in his opinion that children's ministry could never be the focus of the church. It couldn't survive like that. And they actually voted him in as their pastor. And the church is, it just continues to struggle, because I'm just going to tell you what the focus of this church needs to be is whatever God calls us to do. And if it's children's ministry, then we better be all about it. Amen? This church was actually started back in the 1950s based on a vacation Bible school outreach that lasted 2 weeks. It started on children's ministry because they understood that we need to capture this next generation. If we don't, then guys, I'm just going to tell you, we're all in trouble. Are we tracking on this? We're starting to see what it looks like for a bunch of kids who got raised on YouTube videos, who are now starting to run things. And I can say there ain't a whole lot of difference sometimes between running things and ruining things if they don't have the right focus and approach. We need to make sure we do everything, and we all play a role in this to help bring about, let me just say, the mothering of children in our own family, our own house, sometimes our own grandchildren, whatever it may be. It might even be the neighbor's children who just need some nurturing and some love. And because they need to see what the love of Christ looks like, and this is one of the ways that it happens. And praise God for this church, because you guys care about the children. You notice it felt weird not having the children's message today. We're going to get back to doing that soon. I just didn't plan it for today. We're trying to figure out how to respect some of the stuff of a little bit of distance and things of that nature. But soon, we care about the children here. One of our number one outreaches from this church always is our Vacation Bible School. I think we can continue to do better on our Wednesday night outreach, so pray about that. A lot of these kids need a ride to church, so we need to pray about that too, ways that we can do this. Y'all care about the kids, we still have children's Sunday schools, And then we try to integrate together to do the service together as families, because I want these children to see their parents worshiping the Lord, the ones that have their parents here. But here's the thing, keeping safe, preserving, rescuing, making well, this all has to do with us taking up our roles. As we look at that idea of childbearing, it implies the duties of motherhood, and that's what the moms, only the moms, can really do in God's plan. We need you to do your part in that, and I can say it is like the highest of all. In fact, And as an example of a woman who was saved through childbearing, think about Mary. She was asked to do a very uncomfortable, very hard task. She was asked to bring a child into the world when the rest of the neighborhood was going to know that she hadn't really consummated her marriage with her husband yet, so it was going to look very scandalous. And yet she said, "Behold, the maidservants of the Lord, let it be to me as you say." She had that child. She raised that child. She loved that child. Imagine changing, you know, baby Jesus' diapers. Imagine taking care of him when he was just a little baby. Imagine holding him in your arms and nurturing him and feeding him and loving him. And then one day you look and he's lifted up on the cross. Imagine how that must have slayed her heart. But imagine, Jesus said very few words from the cross, but that day he looked over at his mother and he looked at one of the disciples who had followed him and leaned against his breast the night of the Last Supper, and he said, "Behold to this disciple your mother. Behold to his mother your son." One of the last things he did on planet Earth was to make sure his mother was going to be cared for. I say praise the Lord. She was saved through childbearing. She mothered that boy, and that boy made sure he didn't forget about her whenever it was time for her to be taken care of, and he wasn't going to be able to do it. One of his last thoughts on the cross was making sure his mother was taken care of. I say praise the Lord. I say that's a very convicting charge. I'm going to tell you a little story here, and personal story. I want y'all to know something. I love being the pastor of this church. I really do. And so I want you to be assured of that. I think it's like the greatest, most awesome thing I've ever been called to do, and I love doing it. I'm always open to wherever God wants me to be, though. Okay? And so I want to kind of set the stage for this, but I can tell you when we went to Thailand, God really was moving. His spirit was really moving in Thailand. And I asked God, I did the same thing in Sri Lanka too. I want to be open to go wherever, whenever God wants. And I said, "God, if you are calling us to move, pick up, sell everything and do it, I'll do it. I just wanted him to know, you know, in prayer." You know what he told me? He said, "You need to go home and take care of your mom." That was in August, folks. I didn't even have a clue that my mom had problems at that time, but God knew. And God was telling me to make sure that I was available because he wanted my mom to be taken care of. He wanted me to be a part of it. He wanted to bless me to be there. He wanted to bless her and make sure that she had her son to be there, just to be there. I didn't do a whole lot. All I did, I was just there. I drove when she asked. She had a place to go. I listened when we sat with doctors. I repeated it back to her. I tried to be there when she needed me, is all it was. And we all got to be there with her as she was it was time, you know. Her race ended a little over a week ago, you know, a couple weeks ago. God wanted to make sure she was taken care of. And you know how he did it? Through childbearing. She had nurtured us, and we wanted to be there for her. Both me and Sissy. You know? You've nurtured people. And I can tell you, you're going to have people around you. You love people. And they're not going to just, whenever you have a need, people are going to be there for you. Because you're nurturing people. You're loving on them. You're showing them the love of Christ, and God will make sure he takes care of you. I just want to say, you know, I noticed another thing. I was praying about this. Y'all remember the widow in 1 Kings 17? You remember Elijah was running, you know? It was during the 3 years, 3.5 years, where there was no rain, there was a famine. Elijah had been the one to pray to withhold the rain because of, you know, the people were just under judgment, and they needed to repent. Ahab was the king. Jezebel was the queen. I mean, they were wicked, wicked, wicked people. And it was time for judgment on Israel, and God took care of Elijah for a while down in the brook by bringing him food from the ravens, would bring him the food. And then the brook dried up, and it was time for him to go somewhere else. And he went to this widow in Zarephath. It wasn't even in Israel. It was a Gentile land, and he went there. This widow was getting ready to cook her last little bit of flour and oil for her and her son. It was their last meal, and they were going to die. after that. They knew it. They were just going to starve to death. And God appointed Elijah to go up and say, make me some. Now, I'm just going to tell you, I can put myself in Elijah's shoes. I wouldn't have wanted to be him, okay? Saying to this widow, I want you to feed me first. That seems selfish, don't it? But see, God had a plan through it. Whenever that widow agreed to nurture Elijah and become like, almost like an adopted mom to him, her flour never ran out, her oil never ran out, and she and her son continued to eat until the end of that whole meal. You know why? Because I think she was saved through childbearing. She was saved by nurturing one who came to her in need. I think that's just an awesome example of what God does for me and you. I want you to keep that in mind. And as we continue to look at our society right now, I want us to remember we must nurture the next generation. We really need to nurture this next generation. All the while, there's so many of these ultra-feminists, these pro-choice type feminists that are screaming that significance is found in the worldly pursuits and control over men, try to outdo men in every area, refusing to nurture their children. In fact, some of them celebrating the fact that they aborted their children so that they could get their stupid awards up at the podium. I'm going to tell you the most beautiful award that anybody can have is their children standing around calling them blessed at the end of their life. All those trophies that might be on the wall or hanging on somebody's wall means nothing at that point. What means everything is what you've done to help nurture others. And you know, it's such an amazing thing whenever you look and you see that your nurturing actually made a difference in their life and they're going on, and especially in a spiritual way, to serve the Lord. You see, church, I'm going to ask you to do something here. Don't be fooled by their mantras, okay? The church doesn't need to be fooled by that mantra. I want you to remember this quote. This was by William Ross Wallace, "The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world." I'm going to tell you, this was a poem that he wrote as a tribute to motherhood, and I think it's so absolutely true. There's not been one person in this whole world that made a big mark on society that didn't have a mother that brought him into the world, amen? And so you guys play the most awesome role. You guys, the mothers play the most awesome role in this. And so I got to put a little signature piece in there. He wrote a great poem, and I just wrote this one little quote, and it's what we're going to look at here at the end of the sermon, and then we're going to read the poem that he wrote. I would say the most honorable and noble accomplishment this side of heaven, it lies in the hands of all you who carry out motherhood in people's lives. I want to give you a tribute today. Pastor John wants to say, I think you're doing the most awesome, the most honorable and noble accomplishment as you help to provide nurturing for other people. It's something that nobody else can do. It really is. When God puts somebody in your sphere of influence and you nurture them and you love on them and you show them kindness, I can tell you, it moves the world. It really does. So let's read this poem together. I don't always have a poem, but today we're going to have a poem. The hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Blessings on the hand of women. Angels guard its strength and grace. In the palace cottage, the hovel or hovel, I'm not even sure on that word. Oh, no matter where the place. Would that never storms assailed it, rainbows ever gently curled, for the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Infancy's the tender foundation or fountain, power may with beauty flow, mothers first to guide the streamlets from the soul's unresting grow. Grow on for the good or evil, sunshine streamed or evil hurled, for the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Woman, how divine your mission here upon our natal sod. Keep the young heart open always to the breath of God. I love that part. That's your number one calling, is to help keep the young ones' hearts open to the breath of God. Always encourage them. All true trophies of the ages are from mother love and pearl. For the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Blessings on the hand of women. fathers, sons, and daughters cry, and the sacred song is mingled with the worship in the sky. Ladies, what you do, I really do believe, is just right next to what God is doing in heaven. He's carrying out His wish to nurture those children through you. And it goes on, rainbows evermore are hurled for the hand that rocks, or mingles where no tempest darkens. Rainbows evermore are hurled for the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. I just really want to give my greatest accolades to those moms who carry that out daily and don't stop carrying it out every opportunity that they have, just loving on, nurturing on, and continuing to encourage people to keep their hearts open to God. I want you to be encouraged today, and I want you to know that the reason why we have this blessing is because God the Father set it up to work this way. Isn't it awesome that the Father said, I'm going to bring children into the world like this? It didn't happen by millions of years of chance and evolution. It happened by Almighty God speaking it into creation, setting forth the purpose, deciding how He desired to bring children into the world and nurture them. It's not an accident that mothers are equipped to naturally feed their children by holding them. Yeah, it's not an accident. God wants you to nurture that child. That's the way that He intended it to be. That's why this lockdown thing and all this isolation is killing people right now. People are starving for the touch and the attention and the love of other individuals. People that are really just locking themselves in their houses are withering away. They're needing the touch and the love of others. You know why? Because of the way God set things up to work and to have that mother to nurture that child. Evil people in the past have done experiments by taking away the touch of the person on the little baby. And do you know that you can supply that baby with food and everything else, but if you take the nurture away from that baby will wither up and die. What a horrible experiment. But it proves the point. God made it to where we need our mom. Now, God can fill in, you know, whenever it's just impossible. But man, where it's possible, you guys be the best mom you can be to whoever needs you to do that. And I'll say, it moves heaven. And God's pleased. God is pleased. Let me pray for you. Dear Father, you are so gracious to give us moms to bring us into this world. Lord, some of our moms did better jobs than others. I know that. But ultimately, they all did some part of the job that we're even here today. Thank you for adoptive moms. Thank you for moms in spirit, spiritual moms. Thank you for aunts who fill in as moms. Thank you for all the different ways that our moms reach out and nurture others. And Lord, let it all draw us closer to you. I don't think that my heart would have been as open to the gospel if my mom hadn't nurtured me along the way. And so I want to thank you for that opportunity, Lord, that you gave to me. And I thank you that it all drew me closer to the cross and eventually to surrender my heart to Jesus. If there's anybody here that hasn't surrendered their heart to Jesus yet, I want them to know that you desire to fulfill that in them, that they can be with you forever. Lord, thank you that my mom did that so many years ago, and I think she returned back to that faith she started out in. She's with you now, and I look forward to being with her someday again. But Lord, until that day, help us to fulfill our role in this. Thank you for our moms. In Jesus' name, amen.